Welcome back to Boston Public Radio. I'm Jim Browdy, and she is Marjorie Egan. It's probably fair to say that everyone who's heard of Joyce Maynard knows that we're having a nine-month affair with writer J.D. Salinger, but it's probably also fair to say that anyone who has read Joyce Maynard has a good sense of who she is. Joyce Maynard wrote her first memoir looking back when she was 19. 25 years later, she wrote her second, At Home in the World. In between and beyond, she's written several novels. Her latest one is entitled After Her. But today we're talking about her 2009 book. It's called Labor Day. Director Jason Reitman has adapted it to the big screen.
Who are police looking for? Frank Chambers, an inmate at Finchfield Prison serving 18 years for murder.
I'd be grateful if you let me stay till nightfall.
Isn't it against the law to hide a fugitive?
If someone were to come by, it would need to look like I kidnapped you.
How do I know you won't hurt us? I'm stronger than you think.
I've never intentionally hurt anyone in my life.
What happened?
Just know that there's more to this story than you'll see in that paper there. You won't be needing that any longer. When you have to say I tied you up, you won't be lying.
Labor Day, the movie, opens nationwide on January 31st. The film was shot locally in Massachusetts, primarily in Shelburne Falls and Acton. Stars Josh Brolin, Tobey Maguire, and Kate Winslet. In fact, Joyce is calling this the Kate Winslet is unavailable to her. We're actually quite glad she is, because we're thrilled to meet you, Joyce Maynard. Welcome to Boston Public Radio.
Who thought, who would have thought that she'd get her big glamour moment a month after her 60th birthday?
Exactly.
Hers being yours, we're
Mine.
Talking
it's
about.
Wonderful.
Yes, happy
birthday.
I've been walking
the red carpet this year.
It's wonderful. And
I like to feel I'm an inspiration to, I'll call us midlife women.
You
everywhere.
Are. You are. As I said before we went on the air, I'm a big groupie. I've been a Joyce Maynard fan for years and years and years. And the clip from the movie sounds very sexy.
By the way, let me just say,
this movie has the sexiest pie
Josh,
scene ever.
I want to talk about that. And I just want to say before we start,
what?
I am not a 60-year-old woman. And I am a big fan of yours. So let's get that on the
record.
Do you
know, when this movie was previewed at the Telluride Film Festival, Jim, I ran into Michael Moore, who I know slightly. And he said, you wouldn't believe the men's room in there. They're all sniffling after seeing the movie.
Well, I mean,
I love to make the men cry.
Josh Brolin is a fine specimen of an actor. He's a very handsome guy, escaped con.
And a fine baker. That is a little known fact about
Well,
him.
You taught him how to bake a pie.
I did.
Correct. But before we get to the pie, tell us basically, what is Labor Day? What's the movie? Tell us about it.
The story, Labor Day tells the story of a love affair that ensues, that takes place over the course of a long, hot Labor Day weekend. Ooh. In a small New Hampshire town, as seen through the eyes of the 13-year-old son of the woman who's fallen in love. And the man she falls in love with is a convict on the run who gets her to take him home. And they're holed up in this house over this steamy weekend. And we see their love affair through the boy's eyes. And also 25 years later, after he's looking back on this weekend that had cataclysmic implications for all
of us. I've read you, Joyce, say you love the film. And how intimately involved were you in the script, in picking the players? And
officially, there's no involvement. And you know what? The last thing a director wants is to have the writer standing over his or her shoulder saying, well, I think this should change. You have to be prepared to let your work go.
But aren't you in agony waiting to see what the...
Of course. And Jason Reitman, although he had no requirement to do this, was constantly showing me, checking in with me. I read the screenplay and I loved he adapted the novel, and it's a very true adaptation to the spirit of the book. Of course, people should still read the book. We all know that the book is the best thing.
Well, there's something particular about the book that if people want to read it in the audio fashion or hear it in the audio fashion. Tell us about what's going on with the book when you hear it.
When you hear the book, I don't know. You have
your son.
Oh, my son, the audiobook. Oh.
We don't need Joyce for this interview. We can answer the
questions. The audiobook of Labor Day.
is read by your son.
Is read by my
An
son,
actor.
Wilson Bethel,
yes.
who's on a show called Heart of Dixie.
Okay.
On Heart of Dixie, he has an Alabama accent, but he's a New Hampshire boy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to brush off this agony thing. You had an earlier book, To Die For, also made into a movie.
Yeah.
What is that moment when you first get the script from the director and you get to see for the first time what they have done to what you labored over?
You know,
What's that like?
This is untypical, I have to say, Jim, but I've been lucky twice. Buck Henry adapted To Die For. And so twice I've really had a wonderful film made of my novel. And
Pamela Smart.
I like to think it's because I write really good stories.
You do.
And they're stories that are very, I think they're, you know, there's a lot that happens in them. It's always about character for me, and these are really interesting, complex characters, but big things happen. So yes, I'm twice happy. I've written 8 novels, and only 2 have been made for films, but my life's not over yet.
Well, if people forget The Dreaded Local Angle, To Die For is based on the Pamela Smart murder trial, and Pamela Smart, of course, was not supposed to call her a teacher because she was some kind of audiovisual specialist or something
right.
like that.
You were there every day, were you not?
She had an aspiration to be you, basically.
That's right, that's right. And she paid her 15-year-old boyfriend to shoot her husband in the head.
Well, she paid him in an unusual fashion.
She did.
Or maybe a classic fashion.
They had a torrid affair.
Yes.
And who played Pamela Smart in the movie?
Nicole Kidman.
It was great.
In what I consider still her best role.
It was very funny.
I played her lawyer. You might not know that. I'm in that movie, as I am in Labor Day. But really, I was a little disappointed with my cameo. My real appearance in Labor Day is in the form of the pie, which is totally my pie.
Okay, you've mentioned the pie 3 times now, so let's get to it. Everybody is talking about the fact that you taught Josh Brolin how to do the pie thing, and now we know that after you taught him, he made a pie every single day during production to the point where there was a peach shortage in Concord, Mass. Did you know that?
I did not know that, but I do know that people were actually pushing the pies away. And he makes a fine pie, but it's almost too good, you know?
So what's with you and pies?
You know, my pie story starts 25 years ago. It starts 60 years ago when I was born. I am the daughter of a spectacular pie maker. And I never needed to make pie because my mother always made pie. And then my mother was dying of cancer. And I went to take care of her. And I made pie every day of that summer for her and her friends. And I didn't know I knew how to make her pie, but I had breathed it in. And her friends would take me aside and say, we're going to miss your mother, but we're going to miss her pie. Would you give us the recipe? And I said to them what I have been saying for the 25 years since. It's not about the recipe. The recipe is always the same. It's about how you handle the dough, how you make the... We're speaking of crust here, of course, the big issue for people.
It's really hard.
And the only way to learn is at the elbow of somebody who knows how to do it. So I have probably taught, at this point, a few thousand people how to make pie. I only do it for love. I do it if there's some candidate I believe in or an earthquake's happened in Haiti. I open up my doors and charge a little money and teach people how to make pie. So... when I was writing Labor Day, and I was thinking about this character of Frank, the escaped convict, who you know, could seem like a really bad guy, and we want to see who he truly is, a neighbor shows up that weekend and gives Adele, the mother, who's now Kate Winslet in my mind, a bucket of overripe peaches, and she's about to throw them out. And Frank, the convict, now Josh Brolin, says, "Wait a second. I'll tell you. I have a better idea." And he proceeds to make a pie. So Josh
had to teach them, right?
And
teach Winslet
them.
And the
so,
kid.
So he had to have not just make a pie. He had to have command of that pie, and he had to be to really get the sense of just he owned that pie, and he did. He did, and he What's and his that? Pie. His pie does not look like a Martha Stewart. It was actually kind of funny, Marjorie and Jim, but I feel like you know we have this pie.
We've bonded.
Yes. They had on set this high-level, famous movie food person who was wearing her white chef coat, which is not me. And she was looking a little appalled at my methods. I don't measure. I scoop the Crisco with one hand and the sugar with the other. And I'm flour is flying, dough is flying, and apple peels are going over my shoulder. I was much influenced by things that happened in the WGBH studio years ago.
Is that so?
Yes.
Oh. What happened in the WGBH
studio? Well, the Julia Child method.
Oh, Julia Child. Okay, all right.
Can you do a Julia Child imitation? I bet you can, Joyce.
My son could. My son can be anybody. My son, you know, this is actually, it's not getting off track because really at the core of this story is a question that was always much on my mind. What is it like for your children to watch you conducting a love affair with somebody who isn't their parent, if you're a single
parent. I know.
And my children did grow up with that sometimes. I was a single parent for most of their growing up years. My son Will, this came to me because my son Will, the one who's the actor, is terrifyingly good at doing imitations. He could be Julia Child. And one day he called me up and he was about 10 years old, and he was at his dad's house, and he called me up, and he said in a voice that was unrecognizable, "So, what are you wearing?"
Wait a Wait a minute. This was when you were at home. I was at home.
I could have been wearing something that I wouldn't have wanted him to know. But I knew that I didn't know anybody who would be asking that question, unfortunately. And then I knew Will, so that I did realize, oh my gosh, that is my son, just in time.
That's the voice of Joyce Maynard.
That is an element of Labor Day. We are seeing a young boy just entering his own sexuality, observing in a discomforting way the sexuality of his mother, but also yearning for a father in his life.
So how autobiographical is Del?
Not at all. I mean, I was a single parent, a single mother in a small New Hampshire town. I even drove the car I never told Jason this, but that was, he gave Kate Winslet the car I used to drive, an enormous boat of a Ford Country Squire wagon with wood paneling. But I'm not that agoraphobic woman who just, can barely go out.
Yeah.
She does go out. The way she meets the convict is that her son has outgrown his pants, and it's back to school coming up after Labor Day weekend. So she takes him shopping for new school pants, and it is at the Price Mart store that this man comes staggering up with blood, coming down his head, and says, "Would you take me home?" And she does.
Well, lots of us might be tempted if we saw Josh Brolin in the parking lot to say, throw my caution to the wind with the blood coming down, because he is one very handsome man. What was it like to be up close and personal with two people, Josh Brolin and whose mother-in-law is Barbara Streisand?
Yes. Actually, years ago, Barbara Streisand was going to play me in a movie, which was something he didn't know, because I think that was before his dad's time. I was an anti-nuclear organizer in New Hampshire in the 80s, and Barbara Streisand read a story that I'd written about campaigning against the first in the nation high-level nuclear waste dump coming to New Hampshire. And she bought the rights to my story. Never played me, unfortunately.
Wow.
She never played a New Hampshire housewife.
Are they close? Do you have any idea?
I don't really know.
We did. He is married to Diane Lane. We know that.
I've had a certain experience in my own life of being endlessly identified with some famous person while I've been conducting my own life and doing my own things. And so I don't fault you, Jim, but it's happened every day of the last 41 years. So the last person I would ever ask Josh Brolin about would be Barbara Streisand.
Okay. Well, speaking of that, have you ever done an interview? Thank you for not folding me.
No, I never.
I mean, you just wrote about this a couple of months ago yourself when the documentary came out, the Salinger documentary. Done an interview where Salinger's name has not arisen?
Well,
never.
But you wrote a great, brilliant piece in the New York Times after the documentary about Salinger came out. And I think that everybody, particularly women, can identify this, where you had this line in there that said, it is the quiet, and of course, if people don't know this, Salinger was picking up, for lack of a better word, very young women to carry on with. And you were 18, as you put out in your story.
I was hardly the only one.
One of them was 14, and there were at least a dozen of these women. It's really kind of creepy, in my view anyway. And you write about the quiet acceptance, apparently alive and well in our culture, of the notion that genius justifies cruel or abusive treatment of those who serve the artist, Salinger, and his art. And you quote this film critic as saying, "He liked pretty girls." The implication being, what's the fuss?
Yes.
He did get a free pass for much of his life and even post his life on being a guy 50, 60, 70 years old going after very, very young women.
Well, yes. The part that personally has been wounding to me is that, and I'm over it, it's okay, but that for so many years I was identified in one way as the ex-girlfriend
yes.
of the important man. And meanwhile, I've written 13 books, actually quite a few more than he ever did.
More than he has, that's right.
So for me, that this film, which has absolutely no relationship to Salinger, is a wonderful film, and it's hardly the only thing I've done in the last 41 years, is the best way that I know to counter
it. Why do you say no relationship to Salinger?
Because there's only one book of the 13 in which I address
mentioned
what
that
story meant, and that is At Home in the World, a book that I always say, if people want to know what happened and if people take issue with me, I will ask them, have you read that book?
And you were 19 when you wrote that book.
Uh-huh. No, we're not speaking of that book. We're speaking of the book I wrote 25 years later.
Oh, I'm sorry.
For 25 years, I said nothing of him. I subscribe to this belief that many people still do, that, you know, you do not speak of the great man because he said not to do that. And then I wrote the real memoir, the one that is the story of my life, not the story of Salinger or the story of me, but he's in it. It was almost universally condemned. Time magazine said the one good thing about this book is we'll never have to hear from Joyce Maynard again. Hello.
So when you see, the Golden Globes on Sunday night?
I did not see them because I was at a screening of
Did you hear about Diane Keaton's acceptance of the Cecil B. She accepts the Cecil B. DeMille Lifetime Award for Woody Allen.
Yes.
And in her speech, and if this is not a fair characterization, Marjorie, tell me, but she opens talking about the brilliant job he has done with women's roles. And the sense I got as a viewer is that she was basically saying, I know you're all thinking about Sun Yi. Because you really haven't given Woody Allen the same pass she didn't have it, that you're suggesting Salinger may have gotten. And I found that, and I'm a huge fan of hers, and sad to say I'm actually a huge fan of his, at least his work, as opposed to his humanity.
We can be fans of a person's work.
But do you have a problem? I mean, that's what I was going to ask you separate. I mean, we often talk about, Marjorie said just yesterday, I don't know who we were speaking with, who did you say to that we're supposed to hate Alec Baldwin now because what a horrible person he is, but he's a really talented kind of guy. Where is the divide with you?
To me, it doesn't.
Your work is your work.
Your work is your work. And it should no more be required. I mean, do I base my purchase of a car on the personality of the CEO? Mm-hmm. Probably. I mean, if he didn't treat his workers right, I guess forget that metaphor. That one didn't work. There's my work and there's my life. And I would like to think that my work could be looked at just totally separate from my life. It never has been. And his, he laid down the law very early on that we were not to know about his life.
Do you think it's any different now, 2013, that attitude about the genius male artist, whatever he does in his private life, even if it's really kind of creepy, is
okay.
or she that's true. I mean, it's or are we a little bit more critical of those kinds of things?
I'm the mother of three adult children who are now 29, 31, and 35, and I see a kind of open-mindedness in them that did not exist in my generation, certainly. I mean, they don't subscribe to all these sort of old ideas. It's very refreshing, actually.
You know, Joyce Maynard, when we were talking about you upstairs before we came down, Marjorie said two things. One, she first said how much she has admired your work forever. We talked about that a little bit. And then her
It was looking back. You wrote when you were 19. I'm sorry about that. Not alone.
That you appeared, was it last year, on what do you call
the
weddings page?
The women's sports
page.
In the New York Times. Yes, that's right. Because the women's sports page.
I always read that page before.
They're great.
Yeah.
It's a style section of the Sunday New York Times. I read it now with my oldest daughter. We much enjoy it. And I turn, and whose is the featured wedding but Joyce Maynard's, who met your husband on Match.com.
I did.
Which I thought was so courageous for
someone
who's famous.
I met a lot of other people on Match.com that I didn't marry, I'll say.
But I mean, because you're a famous person. You were quite out there. It would be like some TV star or something putting themselves on Match.com.
This actually connects with that other idea. I mean, are people who write books or, you know, make movies, are they sort of exempt from all the normal human experiences? Do we sort of feel like, they wouldn't do something like want to fall in love? Well, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, I've been knocking around as a single person. I had been for 25 years. I married very young and had three children, and I was divorced in 1989. That's a lot of years. So to get married on the eve of one's 60th birthday to somebody else who had been divorced for 25 years, I thought that was a real cause for celebration, and I wanted to announce it to the world. This is possible because there are a lot of women and men out there who have that same dream and sometimes feel it's impossible. Actually, it's not unconnected with Labor Day. There's that woman is a woman who's sort of given up hope. And then this extraordinary relationship comes from the least likely direction. And I don't think it's a fairy tale, but it's definitely an optimistic, you know, it's a story that we want to believe. And for 2 hours, when you go to Labor Day, I think Jason Reitman has done a pretty good job of making us imagine how that could happen.
And by the way, I should say the commercials, which ran incessantly during the Golden Globes the other night, are fabulous. I don't know if you didn't see the Golden Globes.
I haven't.
So before you go, Joyce Maynard, well, first of all, this new husband of yours, was he drawn at all to the pie baking skills, or was that just
that was
an ancillary deal?
An unexpected fringe benefit. He knew nothing of my work, my pies, no.
Okay, so this is an audio medium, unfortunately. Give us, before you go, give people who probably are wildly interested in the pie thing, give us a couple of tips for the novice pie baker.
Well, I will tell those people, since we are limited by audio, that I have actually, because this comes up a lot, I have made an online video that they can see.
Ah, fantastic.
And it's on Curious.com,
okay.
A wonderful platform. If they're new to Curious, they won't even have to pay anything. It's normally like 99 cents. It's like an iTunes download. And it is a pie lesson that will filmed in my kitchen, and by the time you're done with that lesson, you too will make a great pie. But for those who don't own a laptop, perhaps.
Or can't wait.
Can't wait. I will say there needs to be less water than you think. Most pies, including the sort of those beautiful Martha Stewart pies, are too smooth, too perfect. My pie looks like it was made by a convict on the run. It is that flaky. And you need to just barely, my mother always said, never overhandle the dough. You just touch it the least you can. Butter is better for flavor. Crisco is better for flakiness. So, of course, I use both. I measure nothing, but I technically the recipe is what all the recipes are. But I would say joie de vivre. You cannot over-worry your pie crust. You have to do it with a certain freedom and an attitude that, you know, a forgiving attitude.
Look at the look on Marjorie's face, Joyce Maynard, as you were describing this.
I don't know how to make
you
a pie.
You are 15 minutes away from knowing.
Okay. I think that's true.
Yes.
Okay, and if people want to know about your work, what you're doing, where they can hear you do readings.
I have a website.
What is your website? You teach writing as well.
Yes, I do. I'm heading off to Guatemala.
Guatemala.
Once a year,
I go to
a little
place.
Mayan village on the shores of Lake Atitlan, looking out over the volcanoes, and help people tell the story of their life. Because I paid a big price for telling the story of mine, and I would never, never undo that. So I love to facilitate other people of all levels. But JoyceMaynard.com, just
That's
my name.
That's very easy. We can all remember that.
Joyce, it's a pleasure to meet you. Thanks so much for your time.
And, you know, I mentioned this when you first came in, but it's a great collection of columns, which is in a book, which you can probably still get on Amazon.
You can download
Amazon.com,
yeah.
Domestic Affairs, about just being a mom with kids, the married life when your kids are little. It was a great...
Do you know, I have to tell you, just as a historical fact, I wrote that column for 8 years, but 7 years into that column, my marriage ended. And of course, what could I do? I had to say that happened. Of the 50 papers that ran that column, 40 dropped it and said, this was not ancient history. This is 1989. And they said I was no longer equipped to write about family life. And in some ways, you know, I'm bringing this all back to Labor Day. I wanted to honor the family life of a single parent, that too is family life. That too is a family.
Thank you very much, Joyce Maynard. A pleasure to meet you. And people who haven't read Joyce should get her books, JoyceMaynard.com, and go to the movie Labor Day. It's opening January 31st.
Men will like it too.
Okay. I'm there.
Well, we all like looking at Josh Brolin, don't we? Even other guys. Kate Winslet's not bad either. Joyce Maynard, thank you so much for being
pleasure.
With us.